Steve, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of our show. I'm Bill, and that's Wendy. We're at 312-981-7200. Hello, Wendy.
Well, good morning to you, Bill.
Feeling a little better today? Is everything back to normal after the disappointment of Sunday afternoon?
I'm over it.
You're okay now? That was a quick rebound, right?
Yeah, John Williams had the best thing yesterday as I was listening, and Steve Bertrand was part of the conversation, so was V and Elif. Mm-hmm. If Cody Parkey had an appearance at a Chevy dealer, mm-hmm. would you hug him or hit him?
I heard that segment as
yes,
well.
Yes, I would have hugged him, and I'd still hug him, but
are
then I'd get his ass
only
fired.
So you would pretend that everything was okay.
No, but then I would just say I feel really bad at the game's outcome.
Give me a hug.
Where are you going next?
Right. Would those be the only two options in that scenario? You either hug him or... What was the other option? Hug him or what?
Punch him.
Punch him? Wow. Those are pretty extreme options. There's no in the middle with that?
There
should be a slight in the middle.
Nobody's going to punch him. He's got such a baby face.
He does. He has
a baby foot.
That's the problem. We just discovered what his problem is.
With a booty on.
You need an adult-sized foot to be a kicker in the NFL.
That's it.
Come on, Cody, get a real foot. Punch him or hug him.
Was it punch him, Bertrand? I can't remember. Slap him, I think. I think it was slap him or hug him.
That's horrible. But you could say that, I mean, you could do that with almost any. That should be a game show. Is, you know, you just get celebrities, and then it's up to you if you want to hug them or punch them. Wow. Wow.
Who's going to host that one?
Wink Martindale.
Is he still with
us?
Not
the defensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens, but the original Wink Martindale. Yeah, we talked to him 2 years ago, remember?
Nope.
You don't remember talking to Wink Martindale?
Yeah, I guess I do. I don't know if I block things out.
Wow.
I have no recollection.
That's crazy. We were like so, I mean, ridiculously excited to talk to him. And he was a very nice man.
Yeah, it's kind of coming
now
back.
Now it's coming
to me.
Back.
Have you seen that show Ellen does where if you answer the wrong question, she drops you down this pit?
Yes.
That seems so odd for her to be hosting.
She said a couple of weeks ago that she's tired of being nice. She doesn't want to be, like everybody always goes, you know who's nice is that? Ellen DeGeneres is so nice. And I've worked with her, and I have to say, she is incredibly nice. I worked with her on two different occasions, and then I was at a club she was at on a third, and on all three occasions, nothing but nice. But she says she is tired of being nice.
She has a little edge to her when doing interviews with guests. She's a little snarky, and it's great, but people can accept it from her because she is so nice.
Do you know what? Do you watch her afternoon show with any regularity?
No.
All right, so this is a constant thread throughout the show. She has celebrities on, and it's your typical talk show format. You know, she's sitting on one chair or couch, and they're sitting on the other. And she has somebody sneak up on them and scare them. And it petrifies them beyond belief. And then everybody laughs, especially Ellen. They laugh like crazy.
Has this replaced the dancing?
Yeah, she doesn't do the dancing anymore. She just scares people out of their wits. You know, she'll have...
No wonder you like it. You are the prank king.
It's not that I like it or don't like it. It's strange that that's part of the show, you know, to have Helen Mirren on and discussing Helen Mirren's project, and then a guy dressed like a giant Fruit Loop comes out of nowhere and scares Helen Mirren. You just go, wow, that's very strange.
Are they usually costumed or just a person comes out?
Sometimes they are. Sometimes somebody will hide, like, there'll be like a box or something on the set or a desk or something, and they'll be underneath it, and then they just lunge at the guest.
You used to do that to me when we were at the old studios.
Yes, I did.
That's not fun for me.
It's not fun for you.
Fun for you, though?
I love it. Good time.
All right, we need to take a break. We are going to talk to Bridget Carey a little bit earlier today. She's our CNET senior editor, and it is a Tech Tuesday, and that Consumer Electronics Show is going on in
Las Vegas.
Why haven't I gone? I mean, that is so up my alley.
I've been there three or four times. And
you?
It's
Mr. Technology?
Yes. I'm like, they do a before and after panel. And I'm the before part of that.
All right. Well, we'll take a break and talk to Bridget Carey coming up next on this Tech Tuesday. Welcome to it. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN.
Hug him or punch him?
John Williams?
Skilling.
Oh.
Hug him. Who's not going to say hug him?
I would cuddle him.
Yeah.
Is there a new rule at this radio station as of 2019? We all have to write and sing our own jingles?
Yeah, that's a new rule. I hope you enjoy it.
John did a great job, but that that is making it very difficult for us.
To do what?
To come up with and sing a jingle.
No, it's not. You can't top that.
With that old-timey radio. Wah.
Isn't that great?
Say.
That was fantastic.
Say, he's very good with his wahs.
See? Yeah. Yes, he is.
Yeah.
With his wahs?
Do not elaborate, Steve.
Please, how much time do you have?
I beg you, do not elaborate.
We are going to talk to Bridget Carey, but we have a few minutes that we have to set up for our monthly EAS test.
It's my favorite part of the month.
I know, and we have to introduce
bills, pretty much.
We have 1 minute to fill. I will fill it with this.
Yeah.
I love my Apple iPhone. I have a 6S, as do you.
Uh-huh.
And there was an article in the New York Times saying Apple's biggest problem, my mom. And it was written by Kevin Roos. And the bottom line is Apple is making products so good that no one is replacing it with the newer models. So the newer models are not really selling very well.
Uh-huh. And why did, I don't understand the mom part of that.
Because she likes her phone. There's no reason. She's not a tech head, so she doesn't have to upgrade.
Oh.
And I just replaced the battery. Apple gave you the chance prior to December 31st to replace the battery in your old phone.
Yeah.
For $29.
It's easier to just replace your mom. So I'm going to start. We should all start doing that.
All right. Pencils ready. Hope you have your number two Ticonderoga because it's the EAS test. It's a test Tuesday and a tech Tuesday.
That was great.
I think we passed.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Big news, a big place, and she is at it right now. It's the CES, the annual Consumer Electronics Show 2019 in Las Vegas, and viva Las Bridget Carey. Bridget, how are you?
Hey, guys. I'm on the show floor of this insane tech show called CES.
And I heard it was more insane. I heard it was more insane this year than it's ever been.
It keeps growing and growing, and there's more like weird tech and just massive things every day. You know, we've had press days for like a day and a half already, so I already feel kind of like overwhelmed with stuff, but it goes on all week. And there's always, you know, this is the kind of show where you always get the big, beautiful televisions, but then you also get like the really weird startups that try to solve your life problems, like keep you from snoring. So on one hand, when it comes to television, I would say everyone's jaw kind of drops on what LG is showing off. Sure, you're used to big and all new technologies make the screen better, but they have one that's rollable. Like, imagine a TV stand, like a little, you know, something that you would just keep as like a coffee table type of thing. And the TV just pops up slowly because it rolls like a poster. Underneath this thing, and it rolls up flat, and it goes up, 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 and then you can watch TV, and it goes right back down, just kind of like blinds or a poster hidden back into the table below. They're going to sell it this year. Of course, I'm sure it's going to be crazy expensive.
So, Bridget,
they haven't told us the price.
Is the plus for something like that the fact that you can bring it from room to room easily, or is the plus that it can be...
No, this is going to be huge. No, this is more like...
What's the benefit in it?
Let's say you live in an apartment or something where you just don't want to have that TV just sitting there dark. You know,
yeah.
You want to maybe, you know, enjoy your life without a TV screen just sitting there. You know, so only have the TV pop up out of the table when you want it.
All right.
Can I tell you with all
it's about
the systems?
65 inches.
Oh.
That's not that big. 65?
Yeah, that's pretty big. You don't think so?
I have a 70-something TV, so to me that's chopped liver.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. There are so many things plugged into your TV that it takes you 20 minutes to turn all the components on. You're going to want to add time to, like, roll this thing out of the table?
It's pretty fast. It's just a push of a button. And the whole thing is that the screen is bendable. Obviously, it's curving like a poster underneath, you know, so rises within a few seconds. What I was thinking is, man, it going up and down, is that going to put wear and tear on it? Is it going to look like it's curved? They say it can take 50,000 times up and down. So if you turn the TV on and off, like, let's say 8 times a day, it'll last you 17 years. So I think that whole technology of having bendable screens is pretty fascinating.
Is the price outrageously high, or is it in line?
Oh, it's so outrageously high they won't even say it. But they call it the signature series for like rich people. So you know, there's in time us plebeians can enjoy these features.
All right.
All right, what else is a weird thing you've seen at the CES 2019?
Well, the list goes on and on. I feel like there's a lot of robots that are trying to be your companion, and they don't all, like a pet robot, essentially. There's one called the Love Robot. It looks like a Star Wars Porg bird thing that just rolls around, and it can sense your face and then come up to you and give you hugs. It's crazy how like everyone's trying to solve this problem of like, what can we do for a robot pet? There's also ways to brush your teeth fast. What if you can brush your teeth in 10 seconds? It's something like a mouth guard. You just stick in your mouth and quickly the bristles, you know, go over all your teeth for 5 seconds up and 5 seconds on the bottom row. And then you're clean. The ADA, the American Dental Association, hasn't approved it yet, but something to look out for in the future. And then there's a lot of tech for stopping snoring. I don't know if
all I need to get that. Not that Jimmy Mac snores or anything, but oh my God.
Yeah.
There is a frightening mask. It looks like an eye mask that just keeps going over your nose. And if this person who's wearing it is snoring, it starts to press on your nose to open the airway to kind of nudge you to turn around.
Oh.
Our reporter says, it smells like plastic in here. I'm kind of uncomfortable. So there's also things where you put around your rib cage, like a band, and that'll like vibrate if you're like on your back, which is probably a time when you're snoring. So everyone's trying something, like things to train yourself to be better, but yeah. I don't know how realistic they always are.
For the snoring situation, they should make a robot that has an elbow that just kind of nudges you when you start snoring. That might work.
Yeah. Bridget, a few years ago, the Fitbit thing was all the rage. You got to know how many steps you need to reach 10,000 steps. Have they upgraded that? Is there a new version of something like that?
Now everyone's after trying to detect your heart rate for arrhythmia. Ever since the Apple Watch did that with EKGs, and their Apple Watch is, what, $400. There's a lot of companies here who are saying, yes, we're on a cheaper device. You'll also be able to detect heart arrhythmia or any sort of issues. Although they're still sometimes waiting for FDA clearance. So it doesn't mean that they're actually out there yet, but they're kind of all coming out of the woodwork now, showing that, you know, more ways to track your vitals. And then there's just robots to help your life better, like a machine that can fold your shirt for you. So when you're done with laundry, you kind of like stick these shirts in the machine and wait a few seconds. They come out on the bottom all folded. I mean, I could fold faster than this machine, and it's $1,000.
Wow.
But people are trying, darn it. You know, they're trying to make our lives easier. And there's also like a robot for your cat litter box. So your cat jumps in this thing that looks like a kind of like a dryer, from like a washer and dryer. He jumps in, does his business, and the robot inside is taking care of all the clumps, you know, so it can self-clean the litter box. Although there's no price on that, I think some people may enjoy tech that can, you know, help them from cleaning up and doing these kinds of chores.
That's what I would like. The other stuff, it just makes you lazy. I can brush my own teeth.
Right.
I don't need a robot to do that.
Yeah.
We only have about 30 seconds. So the Consumer Electronics Show goes on each and every year in Las Vegas. Is this open to the public or no?
Well, actually, last year some of it is. Although it's mostly reporters and the whole, you know, industry and everything, now a little bit is the public too.
Huh. Can we see some great videos that you guys have put together at CNET.com?
Oh, boy, can ya. Go to CNET.com. We have a live feed going up all day long throughout the whole week. So, we have a lot of fun stuff.
Super. We will look for that. She's Bridget Carey. Have fun, like we know you're not going to.
Try.
CNET Senior Editor Bridget Carey. You can follow her on Twitter at Bridget Carey, Insta at Bridget Happens, and go to CNET.com and look at all the live feeds. They have a smart diaper. It's a little thing that you put in your kid's diaper, so the sensor can detect whether there's number one or number two.
Oh.
Here's an idea. Just change the diaper.
Right.
This is a crazy world we live in.
Steve, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's Bill. It's Wendy. We're at 312-981-7200.
If might you want to...
You might as well jump. Van Halen, it turns out, was right. They were visionaries.
Wasn't there a rumor that going around that they're getting back together, like the whole crew, like with Michael Anthony?
Oh, maybe. Possibly. I don't know. That'd be all right. That'd
I
be
love
good.
Them. I'm sorry.
This is strange. You know, we've heard for years that Sears was like right on the verge of closing down, right? So now it looks apparent that that's about to be what happens with Sears.
I thought it already happened in our...
They had closed the majority of their stores.
But then Sears at Oak Brook had like a grand reopening.
That didn't last long.
Like 2 days.
Was it only 2 days?
It seemed like it was a
Sears
quick
in Oak
thing.
Brook. That was one of the original stores in Oak Brook, was their Sears store, and then they closed it down to refurbish it to make it nicer and newer and cleaner and brighter, and then Sears, the parent company, had more and more problems, and then after they reopened, they just quickly reclosed it. All right, so here's my question. What went so wrong with Sears? What did they do wrong? And is it the same thing they did wrong that almost every department store did? Because all the department stores, or most of the department stores that we grew up with, Carson Perry Scott's,
although that
Ward's,
came back in a few areas, didn't it?
And
did it, Steve?
Well, I mean, they're trying to reopen a few others.
I saved my credit from the old Carson's.
Did
that
you have
they
a
were.
Lot of credit with them?
Yeah, and I went in to use it, and they said, no, you had to have used this like 6 months ago.
With the real Carson's.
Right. Well, I'm just hanging on to it.
Carson's Ribs.
I'll try it at Carson's Ribs.
I think one part of Sears' trouble, though, also was done in, I mean, it's been a long, long road.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think Walmart hurt them a lot in you know,
and
discount
Target
stores.
And
right.
Kohl's.
Because, you know, Macy's and Carson's, those were seen as a little higher end
yep.
than Sears was. And so Sears was sort of robbed from below by those deep discounted stores, and they had a hard time keeping up. I mean, everyone's talking about how the internet has done them in. I mean, it certainly might have been the death knell, but they were in trouble. They've been in trouble for decades.
Honestly, for at least 10 years,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
And I mean, think when you'd go through your Sears catalog and pick out your toys. Was Toys R Us around then? Because
yeah, Toys R Us was still around.
But why did we only care
no,
about...
No, but when we were kids.
That's what I mean.
I think there might have... There weren't Toys R Us near me, but...
there were a few of them, maybe.
The catalog was the only thing that came to my house.
Me right. too. And I mean, that's the only place you got your toys or your underpants. Or your bras and
or
watches,
my
everything.
Toy underpants.
Right. Did you have those too, Steve? Those were fun.
I hear
underpants.
There's a documentary going around on Netflix for
that. The thing
that.
Is, they didn't last.
It was always one of the highlights of the year when you would come home from school. This would happen sometime in September or October, I guess. And the Sears catalog, there,
the wish
what
book.
They called the wish
yeah.
book. Yeah, yeah.
A lot of times Winnie the Pooh was on the cover.
Many times Winnie the Pooh. Was on the cover
just
wearing
the
toy underpants that Steve was just referencing.
He doesn't right. wear pants. He has the half shirt.
Why bother instead of oh bother?
So yes. say, why bother? That's what I'm saying. They don't last.
No, they don't last. But back then, like, or not just then, but throughout my whole childhood, you go, well, this Sears will never close. Look, it's wall-to-wall people buying items that smell like caramel corn. This is great.
Oh, remember that? The little kiosk with the...
Right.
I don't remember that. You keep bringing that up. I only went to the Oak Brook one.
Whatever we ever bought at Sears, whether it was furniture or a rug or a towel or whatever, it always smelled like caramel corn or popcorn because the smell was just so strong from the center of the store. They had this little booth that sold all those things.
Did and they get rid of the kiosk? Maybe that's
that
why they went
the
into
one,
trouble.
Wendy,
maybe
the one in Oak Brook was in the basement, I think, in the lower
that's
floor.
It.
That's why I think you couldn't smell it all.
Mine
the
was
place.
At the Meadowview Shopping Center in Kankakee, and you would go to Meadowview in December, and Santa Claus would land in a helicopter.
Oh, cool.
In the parking lot.
That's outstanding.
Exactly.
And
my mom would go into Sears, and we'd wait in the car. Right?
Really?
Absolutely,
yeah.
All the time.
Think about it, though. What store, honestly, you had clothing, you had underpants,
everything.
You had a lawnmower.
Yeah.
That's a funny word.
Everything.
TVs.
Everything.
You can drive down neighborhoods still, and there are homes that were purchased by Sears.
Oh, I know. In Brookfield, there are some. It was, you ordered them from the
kit.
Catalog. Yeah, and you, if you were a handyman, you built your own house.
Yeah.
There's a ton in Villa Park. Yeah,
really?
Right down my street. Mm-hmm. A lot of them.
How big a house are we talking?
It had to be really small.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're little houses.
There were various sizes, though, because we talked about this before, and if you go online, there were various models, if you will.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's not like putting together a model. You had to have carpentry, you know, skills and electricity skills because, I mean, it was a full-blown house.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was also a different kind of house, too, that was made out of tile. These are in Brookfield as well, and I don't think these were Sears catalog ones.
But still a kit?
A kit, yes. Yeah. But Sears, they had like various kinds, like a Sears Craftsman.
Right.
I know they had Craftsman tools, but they also had a Craftsman house, or arts and crafts, rather.
Now, here's a weird question. Our neighbors, Tom, a guy who lived on the other block,
the whole
worked
family's
for Sears.
Named
they
Tom?
Were all named Tom.
Our neighbor's Tom.
Our neighbor's, the Toms.
Oh, okay.
All right, Tom was the father. He worked for Sears forever. Like, that was his first job out of school, and he until he retired, he worked for Sears. But they always referred to it as Sears Roebuck.
And Company.
Sears Roebuck and Company. But I don't remember the word Roebuck being on any of the Sears that I ever visited. That must have ended years and years ago, right?
Yeah, I mean...
Didn't it? Or did some of the stores
still... We just left it off, probably.
Yeah, just to shorten it.
Because it was EJ Corvettes. We just called it Corvettes.
We didn't say Carson Peary Scott and Company. We would just say
Carson Peary Scott and Company.
You'd say Penny's. You didn't say J.C. Penny's usually.
No, I guess. All right. Maybe that makes sense. Because to my knowledge, the Roebuck end of Sears and Roebuck ended like 100 years ago. But some people would still call it Roebuck. But I think Roebuck was way, way out of it. I think. It's all in my book, Wendy. Read
one of them, I don't know if it was Penny's or Sears. I think it was Penny's. That had a picture of like J.C. Penney, I can remember, in the above the cash.
Like from the 1910s or something?
Yeah, he was like this. He looked like Mr. Tate from Bewitched.
Yeah. Larry Tate, I just saw him on a Twilight Zone episode. It was really good.
Yeah?
He looked
David White.
The same. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Handsome man.
He was okay.
You know.
Are you making fun of him?
No. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, if you look at Sears catalog, Sears Roebuck and Company, my God, that's been 1897 there's a catalog from.
Oh, yeah. Now, Roebuck, it says here, I have a timeline of all things Sears. Roebuck exited the company in 1895. So why would employees still refer to it as Sears Roebuck, and why do any of us know it as Roebuck if it ended in 1895?
That is the best question you have ever asked on the air.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Because they bailed right away.
Yeah, immediately. I think the one in Dixie Square said Sears and Roebuck, I think. It's been a long time, but I'm pretty sure.
I mean, they might have kept the company name after. I just found the picture of J.C. Penney, by the way.
Does he still look like Larry Tate?
He does.
That's who should have played him. If they had done a biopic of him, it should have been David White. That would have been an excellent idea. All right. A lot of people want to talk about Sears. We're trying to figure out what went wrong. I'm sure they're trying to figure out what went wrong. Why did Sears go from the number one department store in the country to now they're about to close up shop? What do you think? What happened? 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, we're talking about Sears, and I mean, really, it was your one-stop shop. You could get a barber chair, a camera, a watch.
Didn't they sell caskets for a while? Am I imagining that?
I don't know.
I'm almost positive they did.
That
smelled like caramel corn.
Not a bad way
to
go.
That would be great. I'd be in on that.
All right, Phil, you're so
what
weird.
Was there? Was it Sears where America shops? Was that their phrase when we were growing up? I think it is.
Isn't that terrible? I don't remember.
Pretty sure that was their catchphrase.
All right, an interesting call from Annette. Good morning, Annette.
Hi, how are you?
We're talking Sears. What happened?
So my father, Robert Penhasek, he designed all of the Sears catalogs for over 35 years, from the late 50s. Till like he retired. They gave him a golden handshake in like 90. But he did all the layouts. He supervised all the photography companies. And he was an artist from the Art Institute, but he did, you know, commercial art. So it was, you know, we used to get the magazine, the catalog, and he actually put me in it once when I was like 8 years old. He took one of my old photographs and put me in one of the toy sections.
That is so cool. You know how many kids looked at your father's work for all these years?
I know. I mean, it's pretty amazing. Yeah, we were so proud of him. And he started out when he was really young. He was like 19 or 20 with them. And, you know, worked his way up and became the executive of the whole layouts.
I still remember the cover shot was always so Christmassy. It was always a little boy and a little girl dressed for the holidays, wide-eyed and looking so excited and stuff. And you'd see that and you go, that's what Christmas is supposed to look like.
Yeah, he was, you know, he really had such an artistic flair, and he made it very, you know, presentable, and people, you know, really loved it. And
was he the one
and
who
people shopped from it? So I got all my clothes from there in my when I was in my teens.
We all did, and I said, you know how many kids looked at that catalog. Adults looked through it too, if they ever could get it out of our grimy little hands. And I was wondering if your dad came up with the concept of having men and women in their underpants. There, I said it again, looking at their watch. There were always some really bizarre poses.
Sometimes somebody would be pointing off in the horizon.
Right.
There'd be four women dressed in their underwear, and they'd be pointing at something. I don't know what.
Well, he had a sense of humor, too. So,
Well, that's pretty great. Congratulations on what a career your father had.
Thank you. He passed away just a couple years ago, but he was also an incredible impressionist artist. So he had quite a career. So thanks so much. It was so fun listening to you. I love your show.
Thanks, Annette.
Thank you,
really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Wendy, to this day, I'm on Sears.com right now. You can buy urns, coffins, caskets. They still sell them at Sears.
And I might have been mistaken. Mm. Pat is on the line. Hi, Pat.
Hi, guys. This is hilarious. I worked at Sears in River Oaks for a while, and they had a little section where they sold the headstones and the caskets and all that stuff. Well, when my grandmother died, they made a mistake with her headstone, so they used it as a display.
What was the mistake?
I saw my grandmother's name, and I after I got off work, I went home. I said, "Granny's buried at Sears." I mean, that's a shock to see your grandmother's name on a headstone at Sears. Let me tell you, boy, it kind of takes your breath away.
They have everything, including grandma.
Yeah.
Granny's at Sears, Ma. I don't know how to tell you this.
Oh, that is so funny.
I wanted to share that with you because that was too funny. Oh, dear. Well, have a great day.
Thank you,
guys.
Pat. You too.
You as well.
The Sears casket is nice, Wendy, because it's got the Tough Skins lining inside. You can't go wrong with the Tough Skins lining.
Do they make them in Huskies?
Yes, they do.
The caskets?
Yes, they do.
So you remember all the stars and celebrities that represented the work. You had Cheryl Teagues had a line.
Right, a clothing
Stephanie
line.
Stephanie Powers.
I don't remember that.
Lauren Bacall. Susan Hayward, Gloria Swanson, Susan Day. Oh, they all appeared on the pages of Sears catalogs as models. I'm sorry, I take that back. But Cheryl Teagues did have a line of clothes.
I think she did, yeah.
Go
back to the Winnie the Pooh one for a while, because I seem to remember not only was Winnie the Pooh in all the catalogs, but if you went to the children's section, there was a ton of clothing that had Winnie the Pooh characters on it, right? They must have had some agreement with Disney.
Absolutely.
Right?
And all the model, the catalogs also featured Roy Rogers, Ted Williams, Al Unser, Gene Autry. I was telling you something earlier in 1903, the catalog included the commitment, your money back if you're not satisfied. And Richard Sears added a handwritten note to his customers. He always tried to cater to customer needs. And he started this thing where it was customer profit sharing, and the customer would get a $1 certificate for every dollar they spent, and then you'd accumulate these certificates, and then the customer could redeem it for specific items. So it's not like they were really losing money, because you'd have to just use it on specific items.
Right. Now, here's something else that Sears did as a department store that I don't remember any of the other department stores doing. And it wasn't at all their stores, but at some of their stores. Like, I remember this was the case at the one at Golf Mill. I'm trying to remember which other ones did this. There would be a section where you could buy automotive parts, but then there was also, like, a separate building outside of the Sears where you could get your
automotive
oil change.
Battery.
New battery.
I'm telling you, all the batteries in our family cars for years were all, everybody said Sears has the best batteries.
Right.
tools, Craftsman tools are the way to go.
River Oaks, I remember, had a giant automotive center. So there was the River Oaks Shopping Center, and then right across from the Sears, they had a giant automotive, you know, like you said, whatever you needed for your car.
A garage.
Yeah.
That was at North Riverside as well, and Oak Brook had a separate entity, kind of.
All right, so if they were so innovative, was the problem just that they didn't keep up with the times? As Steve mentioned, a lot of people blame the internet. It's easy to blame the internet for this. But they seem to want to do things that would fit in to make you want to shop there. So how did things go so horribly wrong for them? What happened?
I don't know.
They were positioned kind of right in the middle. They were above stores like Targets or Kohl's or Walmart. They were better than those. They were not as high-end as Carson's or Macy's or at the time Marshall Field's.
But I remember shopping for clothes at Sears, and when I was growing up, honestly, that was one of the few places you could go for back-to-school stuff.
Yeah.
But their styles weren't really that great.
But that's why, all right, so once they realized that, they would bring in, like, Land's End, remember?
That was current.
So they would bring in other sources to try to update their look, so you would go, yeah,
yeah, but
cool.
That's very conservative. I don't wear Land's End stuff.
Right.
So, I mean, like, it didn't appear to me to ever be really stylish. Like, if you went to Zaire or Corvettes or Venture even, it seemed like those clothes were a little hipper.
Oh,
maybe
really?
Not as quality, but they were, you know, more trendy, I guess.
I guess so.
And, you know, with the tools, other tool companies started coming around.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, I think the refrigerator we have right now, we purchased at Sears. All of our appliances, because that was just old school. That was like 25 years ago.
Right.
And they're still working.
I'm trying to think of like the shopping centers or malls that we went to as a kid. All the anchor stores are gone. Like Orland Square was very close to me. I grew up in Oak Forest, so Orland Square was close. So they had Penny's, which is teetering on bankruptcy.
It is?
Yeah. Marshall Field's, which is now Macy's. Carson's, which is gone. And Sears, which is gone.
Yeah, North Riverside, I think, just has JCPenney now.
That's it.
And Oak Brook had a Sears. They have a Macy's.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what was it? Is it iMagnon that was going under, too? I saw it going out of business sale.
No, Lord and Taylor.
That was it. And Sears decided to stop producing the general catalog. Any guesses as to the year?
That they stopped their catalog? Yeah. I'm going to say 2004, 5, 6?
1993.
Oh, that long ago.
While Sears no longer issues the Big Book catalog, the company continues offering many specialty catalogs, including the Christmas Wish Book. I don't know when this was written, but that's not true. And then the customer had opportunity to order items through the Shop at Home catalog, featuring an online wish book and an online site for Craftsman tools and parts. So they did try to jump into that internet area.
Why didn't it work? I don't know.
And you say, you know, online sales is killing places. I could be wrong here, and I'm not a business person, but I could have sworn I read that Walmart was doing super great because of their online presence as well.
And Target has a thing now where you can order online and then go to the store and not even get out of your car. There's like a holding area in some of their parking lots, and whoever's working inside the store brings
it out. They run it out to you?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's fun if you're at customer service and you're like the next person in line or two people away from being waited on, and whoever's running customer service goes, you got to hold on a minute.
Speedy delivery.
And then they run out to the parking lot, then they come back, and then they get a call. They have to go out again.
Really?
That's happened to me twice already in the last 2 months where you go, yeah, but I'm here. I'm in the store. I'm ready to buy something from you.
Because a lot of places offer you a discount if you buy online and then go pick up yourself.
Right.
Like Best Buy does that and PetSmart.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Except they don't run it out to my car.
Yeah.
I like
That's a nice little perk, right?
Soon it'll be drive-thrus, don't you think?
No.
Why?
Because that would be just because the configuration of the way the stores are. It'd be tough to pull off a drive-through, wouldn't it?
I can't imagine.
Yeah, maybe.
All right. Sears, is that pretty much it? They're finished?
It looks bad. Yeah. I can't imagine. So they were hopeful that something would come of this, but it doesn't look good. So
it's a sad moment.
It is.
No more
really
wish book. I'll draw you one.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And we have a couple of other things up our sleeves right here, 720 WGN. Hey.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill and it's Wendy. You can call us at 312-981-7200. You can text us there, too, if you prefer. Here's a quick question, Wendy. Let's say you're on the highway and you're in the left-hand lane. You're driving in the left-hand lane. You're not passing anybody. You're just driving in the left-hand lane. Can you get a ticket for that?
Technically, I know the left-hand lane is for passing only, but I don't adhere to that rule, so cuff me now.
Oh, you're going to the big house, to the Hooskow.
The Pokey?
No, I don't think you'll go to the Pokey. You'll do the Hokey Pokey and you'll turn yourself around, but that's what it's all about. Wendy, you can get a ticket for driving in the left-hand lane if your intention is to not pass. But if you're just comfortable, if you're one of those people who goes, I enjoy this lane, this left-hand lane is working for me, trouble.
See, here's the thing. We just drove to Peoria because my brother lives out there, and we drive there and we drive home. We don't spend the night.
Yeah.
And it's just far enough away to be annoying. You know what I mean?
Is it 3 hours?
No, it's about 2:20.
Yeah.
2:12 if you go through Henry. The town. And it's, you're driving on 55 to 80 to 30. You got three lanes, you got mostly two lanes, sometimes three. I'm gonna stay in the left lane so I don't have to keep moving in and out to pass these trucks. But it's a two lane, by the way, for most of that.
You could see, though, where if somebody wants to pass and there's somebody just kind of there in the lane not passing, that could present a problem. Right?
Well, you're not supposed to go slow in the left lane. Slower traffic goes to the right. But if you're hauling ass, you can stay in the left lane. That's my opinion.
That's the rule?
Because otherwise, think about it. Each time you change lanes is a possibility of an accident. Mm-hmm. And if there are trucks and slow pokes in the right lane, then you pass them. Then you get in the left lane and pass them. And then you get back in the left lane. It's too much back and forth.
You think so? You think that's more dangerous than just...
In my opinion, but I still...
The thing that gets me the most, and I'll explain why I'm doing this, they're cracking down. It says here, if you like to drive slowly in the left lane when you're not trying to pass anybody, you might want to reconsider.
But slowly is the key there.
Slowly is the key.
Yeah, I think if you're going traffic fast like you would be, Wendy, to keep up with traffic.
I just stay in the left lane.
Then I think they're not going to bother you. I think they're just going to bother you if you're just poking along going 50 and a 70 or whatever. And then the other irritating thing is the trucks that stay in the left lane.
Yeah.
And they always say, trucks, stay in the right lane. And this truck, stay in the left lane.
But the trucks have the same problem, and that's harder to change lanes. When you got a slow poke, I see where the truck has it on these two-lane highways. You'd be weaving in and out, so just stay in the left lane.
Yeah.
Although trucks need to, maybe that's a different story.
Yeah, yeah. The part that gets me the most is when you are trying to pass somebody, when you're in that left-hand lane and there is somebody going slowly, and the thing that makes sense is you flash them the brights once or twice.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Because that lets them know.
That lets them know that there's a jag behind you.
No, they're the ones that are creating the problem, not, as you say, the jag behind you. The problem is the guy going slow. I mean, this wouldn't be an issue if they weren't at fault.
I don't think you're supposed to flash your brights at them. That's not like
what do you do to let them know that you want to pass them?
You can't try and get around them. You don't.
You can't get around them. They're in the left-hand lane. That's the passing lane. They're in your way.
But you wait for a break on the right lane. I think it's against the law to flash your brights. Would a police officer call? I think it is.
Why would that be illegal? To flash your brights? To say, get out of my way?
Because you don't have the right to say, get out of my way. You have
to
go around.
Is the left-hand lane
them.
The passing lane or the dawdling lane?
I understand that, and they're in the wrong, but I'm pretty sure...
Why would that be illegal?
You're
letting
you're not
them know
to...
that their time has expired. They're in the wrong lane. Get out of the way so that those of us that want to drive fast use the left-hand lane for what it's used for.
Can I tell you something? If some guy's behind me flashing his brights, I'm going to stay there and slow down.
I knew you would say that because that's you... But that's a lot the problem. Of people.
I need a police officer. Jazzy, try and find someone. 312-981-7200. I don't think you're supposed to flash your brights at people.
There's no other way to signify. Get out. You can't honk at them.
Except sit right on their bumper. Like
right.
A
do that. And, but that's the most.
And you know
dangerous.
What I do when people do that? I tap my brake.
Yep.
But see, you, and it never happens to me, I swear to you, because if it's treacherous situations, yeah. I'll stay in the right lane if I'm going slower than the rest of the traffic. But typically, trust me, you're not going to ever have to flash your brights with me. I'll get out of your way.
But so many people, I can't tell you over the years how many people you get in that left-hand lane with the intention of passing.
Right.
And somebody's going below the speed yep. limit, so you're flashing and flashing, and they just stay there. It's like, I have no idea where these flashings are coming
they
from.
They don't have to listen to your flashing. That's not like a rules of the road. I think you're not supposed to be doing that.
So the person who's wrong is the person who's using the passing lane for or wants to use the passing lane for passing. They're
no.
the ones who are wrong?
No. The person going slow in the left lane is wrong, but I don't think you... Unfortunately, you have to deal with it and try and pass them on the right, which is also illegal, but...
That is illegal, but flashing lights to somebody if they're blocking your progress.
I don't know.
Your forward progress.
Jim, your thoughts? I know people do it, but I don't know that you're supposed to. Jim?
Wendy, you're wrong. If someone's going slow in the left-hand lane, you flash your lights, and that's the sign for them to move over so you can pass them up.
That's
right.
It.
Where does this say that they... I mean, I know people
do Bible.
It, and I know
Bible,
that I've
Wendy.
Done it to people, too, because you're trying to irritate them, so they...
It's not to irritate them. It's to say somebody who's a better driver is here now. It's time for you to move over.
I know people do it, and I've done it, but I didn't think it was, like, legal. I'm serious.
Why would that be illegal?
Because you're supposed to turn your brights off when you are approaching someone like head on.
Right, but there's
so
no...
why is it okay to flash your brights in their rearview mirror and scare them?
Well, this isn't like if somebody's coming at you, that could potentially blind them momentarily, secondarily,
right.
just for a second. But in this case, you're just getting a little after flash going, uh-oh, I'm impeding somebody's progress, forward progress.
All right, well, answer me this. I know what that means, and like I said, if somebody flashed their brights, I'd go slower.
Yes.
But, so is it universal? What if somebody doesn't know that's what it means?
Oh, I sent out an email. I sent out an e-blast. Everyone knows.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
But we were even taught that in driver's ed class.
No, you... There we is were. No way.
They taught us in driver's ed class. Left-hand lane passing. Somebody's in your way. Give them a couple flashes of the brights. They'll get out of your way. Unless it's Wendy. Who feels that lane belongs to her, they said.
All right, Derek, go ahead.
Yes, growing up, my parents and my dad used to do a lot of highway driving. That was what you did. We never used our brights. We would just turn the lights off, turn them back on,
yeah.
say, hey, I'm behind you.
Yep.
And as a truck driver now, it's still something we do, but it doesn't seem like it. As many people now understand that.
Right.
First of all, you shouldn't be driving slowly in the left lane at all. End of discussion. So you should never be in this situation where you have to flash
Correct.
Your brights. Because that's wrong.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right. So you're a trucker.
There
I know.
There seems to be a lot more road rage now as well.
Absolutely. And like for truckers, I think this is the thing too. If you're trying to get into the left lane to pass someone and I'm approaching, I will flash my brights to say, go ahead and let you in. And then when you get back in your lane, don't you tap on the brake or flash the rear lights to say thank you?
Flashers. We use the flashers,
okay.
Hazards.
I send a thank you note. And a box of candy.
Yeah, if you see a truck flash you with the hazard from in front of you, that's a thank you.
That's what it is. Or the hand wave.
Or the I'll call you.
The I'll call you.
I'll call you and say thank you.
Derek, thank you very much.
Thanks, Derek.
All right, we're going to take a break and then listen, I know people do it and I'm not saying you should be a jerk in the left lane. Get out of the left lane.
Yeah.
But I just wondered, like, it's funny you said it was taught in rules of the road. Maybe it was, but
in driver's ed, they taught
us. Didn't think you were supposed to do that.
No, they said.
All right. Well,
they told us we get bonus points if we do it.
312-981-7200.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the show. Let me quickly catch you up. Here's the story. It says, Illinois State Police say they are planning to crack down on, and I quote, left lane lollygaggers, which was the barbershop quartet that you and I were in, Wendy, years and years ago.
Do, 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 do.
They're going to crack down on anybody who's using the left-hand lane to not pass. They're going to target people who are in that left-hand lane when they don't need to pass anybody. It's against the law, it says here, to be in the left-hand lane if you are not passing somebody or getting out of the way of an emergency vehicle. WCIA reports that Illinois state troopers will be using covert vehicles during these enforcement efforts. So you won't know where they're there. They'll be driving right alongside of you in an unmarked car, and then all of a sudden you'll get pulled over if you're using the left-hand lane to not pass.
All right. Well, I don't think I've made myself clear. There are some people that most people agree with you, that you flash the lights and say, hey, buddy, get out of the left lane.
Out of my way.
I know it's done. Flashing lights to remind a car to move to the right lane is a road courtesy to the idiots who are too stupid to move over.
Agreed.
Some stay in the left lane playing cop, not allowing those that want to go faster to pass. And when I'm in the left lane, I don't want to make myself get a ticket, but I'm usually ahead
going
of the pack.
Above the speed limit.
Yeah,
right,
so
right.
No one's behind me.
But you've certainly been involved in situations where somebody's in that left-hand lane, maybe doing the speed limit, maybe under the speed limit, and you have the right to pass on the left-hand side, but they're not letting it happen.
They're definitely not obeying the law.
Right.
And it sounds like that they're going to crack down on it, although I wish they'd crack down more on people texting and driving.
That would be nice.
But the left lane is for passing only.
Should be. Right.
And I admit, maybe I'm wrong. I stay in the left lane on two road highways when slower traffic is to the right.
Yes.
But no, I'm not keeping anyone behind me, so no one has to flash their brights.
Okay, that's good news.
There's a couple people that thought it was against the law to flash brights or that you could get ticketed because it's aggressive driving. But
that's
again, I don't know who's going to be there to say, you know, is somebody going to make a citizen's arrest and go, here's the license plate number of somebody who was flashing me because I'm going two in the left lane.
I don't think that's aggressive. I think that's just the way the game is played, you know?
Wendy, you didn't know you should stop for the school bus sign either. I'm not the only one.
A lot of people.
When I brought that up and you're following the school bus and the school bus sign is out, I always stopped.
Right.
I did not know. I was unclear. I always did, but I didn't know that was a law.
Yeah.
And anytime there's a school bus, I always slow down and look around because there's always a kid who doesn't listen to the rules.
Yep. Yep.
That's just it. What about those that are going slower than the far right lane and being passed on the right? Some are going under the posted speed limit, but don't move over. That's someone who's going to cause an accident.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Paul is good. I think line 4 or 5.
All right. Hi, Paul.
Hey, I just wanted to mention a couple of things because Wendy was saying about, you know, flashing your lights at somebody to pass them. And, you know, that feature on your car is called just that. It's called flash to pass.
Yes.
And that's what it's supposed to be used for. And then the other thing is that, you know, generally speaking, the police officers, in my experience, are not going to pull you over for going 5 to 10 miles over the speed limit to pass somebody. And that's the biggest problem that I have with people is they just continue basically to do the speed limit rather than passing and getting out of the way. They just creep along and it takes forever for everybody to get around that car, especially on a two-lane highway.
Oh, it messes everyone up. I 100% agree. My only argument here is I know what the pass and flash per se is. I just didn't know that was encouraged.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I know people do it, but that's my only thing. I agree with everything else. Don't go slowly in the left lane.
But it's so crazy. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Paul.
Coming at you at 100 miles an hour or more, and so you're flashing to let you know that you're coming up on them at speed.
Say that again?
In Europe, on the Autobahn, that's a common practice.
Yep.
You know,
are we on the Autobahn?
That's the street. That's how I get here every day, Wendy. I take the Autobahn in.
You take a long way in.
So it's out of my way, but I go faster
you
when I'm
do,
on it.
You do, and you make better time.
Yes.
So that's how they do it on the Autobahn.
Yes.
In most other countries around the world, that's an acceptable thing, as opposed to having people commonly tap their brakes or slam on their brakes when you flash them to pass them, which has happened to me quite a few times, and that's what causes accidents, people that don't understand. And basically, you know, when it comes down to it, if people are passing you on the right, you're not driving properly.
Right.
Exactly.
So true. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it.
Pass to flash to pass.
Flash to pass. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
All right. I understand it. I get it. I agree with everybody about everything. I just didn't know you're allowed to do that. I know people do it.
It's so frustrating when you're in that left-hand lane and somebody's going slowly and there's a buildup of cars and they just won't move.
I know.
And they can move. They just choose not to move.
They might be scared.
That could be scary.
Maybe in 20 miles, they're going to take a left turn and they don't want to.
Right. Right.
Well, I hope they enforce it.
Let's hope so.
Be careful out there.
Yes. Good advice. Solid.
All right. Quick break. And then we've got news and the rest of our show. We also have the stream. It's a new year. And I have decided that we need to promote our stream of consciousness more.
Yeah. From 12 to 1, we do what we call the stream or the bonus hour. We'd love to have you. It's easy to install. Just go to WGNradio.com. It takes a minute. And then you can listen to a bonus hour of us, Bill and Wendy and WGN. Jen, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and it's Wendy. And Dolly Parton, of course.
I love Dolly's voice.
She's become very popular. I mean, there was never any down period for Dolly Parton, but all of a sudden, she's very much in vogue.
Why is she back in action?
I think it's because she did the soundtrack for this Jennifer Aniston movie that's about beauty contests.
Dumplin'.
I almost said Pumpkin.
Dumplin', right? Yeah. No G at the end?
She did?
Yeah, she did the soundtrack. The characters in there are big fans of Dolly Parton, so the whole soundtrack is her music. And Jazz, is it safe to assume that that's part of the reason there's a resurgence?
That's what I think so.
Yeah, yeah.
I love her.
All right, speaking of music, while we're on the topic of music, there's currently a series on TV that is what they call a docu-series. So it's not just a documentary, but it's a full-length, several-episode arc series. And it's about R. Kelly.
Am I the only one that does not know about this? I mean, I heard Dean talking about it.
A couple of years ago, huge news.
I know what his news is. Yeah. I didn't know this documentary was out about.
Yeah. So I think the way they're airing it, Jasmine, you've been watching it, right? I haven't seen any of it yet.
Have.
So it's one installment per night? Is that what they're doing?
Yeah, that's how it was.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. And we're a couple of shows in, or are we three or four episodes in?
I think there's... It's a 7-part, I want to say.
Oh, is it?
What platform is it on?
Lifetime.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Not just for women.
No. It's not just for women. No. So, for those of you who don't know, R. Kelly, while a gifted musician, while he may or may not be a gifted musician, turns out to be a horrible human being, if all allegations are true. So that's what is delved into in this docuseries about R. Kelly. So here's the reason I bring it up. For reasons that nobody can properly explain to me anyway, unless that changes here and now, and I'd be fine with that, his music has become more popular than it's been in years because people are watching the show, seeing what a horrible human being he is, but still enjoying his music, and then they're going and they're downloading it and buying it.
Because of this?
Yeah. Because I can't think of another explanation. R. Kelly's name, although you'd hear it every once in a great while, in the last week or so, you'd hear it quite often because people are extremely invested in this docuseries. I haven't seen it yet. I want so badly to see it, but I'm gonna binge it at some point. I want to see all of it. But from all accounts, it's person after person after person coming forward and saying what R. Kelly is purported to have done to them. I don't know that it's been proven or not. And what's happened is all these people this happened a couple years ago, all these people who had these horrible stories about R. Kelly, one by one by one, refused to elaborate or testify, leading people to believe that maybe possibly they could have been bought off.
Or brainwashed. That
possible,
was brought up, too.
Possible.
TMZ is reporting that Shark Tank star Damon John yesterday explained his harsh words for R. Kelly. He was telling TMZ that the new Lifetime docuseries Surviving R. Kelly, which resurfaced year-old allegations of sexual misconduct against the R&B singer, struck a nerve with him while he was watching this with his daughters. Watching Surviving Kelly, R. Kelly, I am so sick to my damn stomach. Hey, R. Kelly, please don't take your life now that we all know how disgusting you are. That's way too easy. Make amends with the victims and family, serve your time, and then kill yourself while in jail.
Wow. That's rough.
Damon, a father of three girls, told TMZ that the film caused him to react in such a strong manner, saying the punishment fits the crime. I don't know if that is a good thing to do.
Jasmine, help me on this, because I'm trying to remember the specifics of this. He was married. Who was he married to? He was married to some singer who, I believe, when he married her...
Aaliyah.
Was she 15 years old when they got married?
She is huge. R&B singer, huge.
Yeah. But when
she was married, 15 years old.
15 years old.
Yes.
Where's Aaliyah's mom allowing this to happen?
I think...
Don't you have to have consent?
At the age of 15, I think you have to have parental consent right. to marry somebody, I think.
Right.
In Illinois, definitely. Yeah.
Right. But his music manager forged the paperwork. He was 27 years old when they got married.
Oh. He was already, at that time, fairly successful and had a bunch of money. Right. Yeah. And that's part of, if you're not familiar with the allegations against R. Kelly, it's that time and time again, he had an interest in underage girls, not just an interest, but would allege to have done horrible things to girls that were underage. That's, you know, throw that on the pile of allegations against him. But the part that I can't understand at all is if you're watching this show and it's being presented right in front of you what a horrible human being he is, what part of you says, yeah, all right, well, he is a horrible human being, but boy, I love his music. I got to buy more of his music, and then turns around and does that.
That's bizarre.
Isn't that strange?
And I'm not knocking his music. I'm not into that music. I don't understand his music. Jasmine, were you a fan of his music?
I think everybody has at one point in time. I mean, the I Believe I Can Fly thing. That's
a great song. I'm going to tell you that right now.
But knowing what you... I mean, again, I guess we still have to use the word alleged because I guess that's where it stands. But wouldn't you just go, I'm not sure I want to give this guy more money based on what I think I know about him? Wouldn't that be a hard sell? And yet... thousands of people are doing just that. They're watching the series. They're going, oh, horrible guy. Look at that. Oh, what a horrible thing. Got to buy that song, though. Got to buy that song.
I just don't get that.
It doesn't make sense.
If you don't already have it on your iPod and weren't a fan of it before, don't get it now.
I would even go so far as to say that there are people who, upon knowing this information about him, if you did buy his music, you go, that music is tainted. I don't know that I want to hear it anymore. I'll just erase it. Right? Wouldn't you even consider that?
I don't know that I'd erase it. I'm going to be perfectly honest with
you. But then wouldn't you feel a little, like, when that song comes up in rotation, wouldn't you go, R. Kelly?
Yeah.
But
then it goes back to Bill Cosby stuff and Woody Allen stuff.
I've told you this, on two different occasions, a Bill Cosby segment has come on, one on the television show and one on a comedy channel on the radio, where a Bill Cosby bit comes on, and what I used to think was very funny, I just get sick to my stomach now.
Do you turn it off?
Yeah. Yeah, in both cases, yes.
I don't know why anyone, like I said, who didn't already have his music, I don't know why anyone would go purchase music after seeing this. And I'm almost scared to watch this, but he's not benefiting from it. This is put together by people to...
He's not benefiting from this docuseries, right. But he is benefiting from, if somebody goes and buys some of his songs, he's getting money, you know? So he is indirectly benefiting, you know, because maybe somebody who wasn't thinking about R. Kelly and is watching the show, all of a sudden they are thinking about him. You would hope in a negative way, but they go, yeah, but that song is so good. I got to buy that song.
Well, I just want to jump in. Some of his songs that he has created, his copyrights have been bought by somebody else. So he's not getting all that money that you think that he is, but he is getting some of it.
Right.
And I think that a lot of people are listening to his songs and his lyrics now is because due to the documentary revealing all this stuff, it's kind of like listening to those songs. It's like, wow, he was kind of telling on himself. Like, he wrote one song for Aaliyah called Age Ain't Nothing But a Number, which is a song basically about a young girl trying to get an older guy. And it was really kind of eye-opening to look at the lyrics, and he wrote it, and I'm like, wow, he was really kind of telling on himself,
yeah.
Like, hey, I like young girls. But nobody ever took it as that. We just thought that, hey, it was a hit. It's a nice song.
Didn't he have some weird song about some weird sexual escapade going on in a kitchen?
Oh, yeah, Trapped in the Closet. That's or it. Something
closet,
like that. Yeah, the whole little series.
Kitchen Closet, maybe?
The Kitchen Closet.
You know, it's weird because, you know, I Believe I Can Fly, when you brought that up, I kind of forgot that was his. Such an inspirational and moving song. Does not seem to
sure.
be congruent to what he's all about.
Not at all. Not even a little bit. Nancy's on the line and has a little more to say on something that Jasmine just brought up about some clues in the lyrics. Nancy, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you. I think I have a friend of mine who works in the music business, and one of the things that's being discussed is that... Unfortunately, there are people who are very interested in hearing exactly what Jasmine just described, hearing his lyrics so that they absolutely can somehow believe that he did this. Because, you know, it's been said, oh, no, these kids, you know, these girls are getting paid and whatever. But if you saw the docu, you'd see mothers crying because they haven't seen their daughters in years. And the things that he's done, but he's so vain and narcissistic that he will tell you in his lyrics, if you listen, a lot of the things he's done.
So,
and people want to hear it. I mean, that's what, unfortunately, that's what sells. And so I don't think he's benefiting, because I think in the long run, I think he's going to be in some major trouble.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's hearing that they're buying his music and he's that way. So he's going to think, wow, you know, maybe this is good. But on the other side of it, you know, his comment is that everybody is lying and he's going to sue
right.
everybody.
Right.
But there are still girls missing, and there is evidence that he hangs out at junior high. And so he just needs to be locked up.
So for people who don't know this part of it, you just talked about the mothers who are upset because they haven't seen their daughters. It's alleged that he was keeping sex slaves, teenage sex slaves,
yes.
correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In
wow.
Chicago.
This yeah. is disgusting.
Yeah.
And not only that, but he now, they just said on news, he now is being sued because he doesn't even feel he needs to pay rent or pay a lease. And so therefore, he hasn't paid for where he's been keeping these girls for a long time.
Why does he think he doesn't have to pay rent? Because he's R. Kelly?
Because he's R. Kelly.
And,
yeah.
and a side story
yeah.
to this, Nancy, that I'm sure you're aware of is that it's alleged that because these girls are almost predominantly African-American, that
exactly.
to white law enforcement, it's not that big of a deal. That if these were white
That's
girls
right.
that were missing, that
That's right.
it would have been all over.
There was a comment made about Mike, I don't remember his last name. He was a football player, and he was the one that had hurt all those dogs. And
Michael Vick,
yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they took him off the team. He suffered for what he did. Not if he learned, nobody knows that. But the idea is nothing happened to this man, and he's been doing this for years.
Amazing.
Years, the things he's done. And nobody has done anything. So for him, he thinks he's a little bit invincible. He
yeah.
can pretty much, you know, he's what you would call a superhero for
yeah.
the black girls.
Wow.
And that's how he gets them in there, is by telling them, no one will love you. No one will listen to your music. No one will take care of you like I do.
Yeah.
On the other hand, then he abuses them, but then he comes back and apologizes. So,
and they know,
you know,
love nowhere else, so they think this
right.
is the way to, poor things.
Unfortunately, they do. And it's been said that he actually picks girls out, or he has, I don't know anymore, but he's actually picked out his girls from his concert. When he gets on stage, he eyes somebody. Then he says, hey, you know, somebody goes up to that person and says, hey, come backstage, yada, 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 and then goes from
But
there.
You know, I'm sure you know this, that's been a staple of rock music for years. You know that, right? Not just R.
Kelly. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a groupie. Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely. So they think, you know, unfortunately, Nobody's going to do. He knows that. Nobody's going to help these girls.
Right.
Nobody. Right.
This is so sad. It's
and,
just so
you know,
sad.
The one dad, he actually went to the door. He actually went to the door, and his daughter wouldn't see him.
Ugh.
Well, now that this is blown up and out in the open, and I know Jim DeRogatis wrote a lot about this as well,
yeah.
But with all this in the open, isn't somebody going to do more investigations?
They're hoping this will open up more, yeah.
Yeah, it'll open up more because more people are coming forward. So I think, you know, I think that maybe now with the Me Too, I don't know. You know, you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen.
So, Nancy, just to circle back to the very beginning of this, the question that I asked was, how does this translate to people saying if they're watching this docuseries, who's saying, oh, this guy is such a horrible, horrible human being, but boy, I do like some of his music. I got to purchase some of his music. You're saying that's more to try to find clues, you think, in the music?
No, I think they want to hear it.
Yeah.
You know, our society wants to hear the blood and guts, and this is what it is. I want to hear that he did these things to this girl. I want to know that Aaliyah was really 15 when she said she wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, and so people want to hear it.
Wow.
People want to hear all the bad stuff.
I guess so.
It is true.
Yeah. Nancy, yeah. Thanks for the phone call. I really appreciate
it. No problem.
Have a great week.
All right. Have a good day.
Bye. All right. We must take a break. If you want to jump in on this, we would love to hear from you. We're at 312-981-7200. You can call us there or text us there. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Now, usually I don't do this, but go ahead on, break them off with a little previews of the remix. Now, I'm not trying to be rude, but hey, pretty girl, I'm feeling you. The way you do the things you do reminds me of my Lexus cool. That's why I'm all up in your grill, trying to get you to a hotel.
Still off it's Wendy Snyder. We're talking about R. Kelly.
Trying to get you to a hotel? So baby, give me that
well, yeah, but...
What?
But lyrics like that are in so many songs. You know, so many...
Okay, Tipper Gore.
Well... They are, though. I mean, you could find any song, and there's lyrics in there that you could, you know, count as that, right?
Somebody has said that R. Kelly, downloading R. Kelly music because he, quote, confesses to all his sexual assaults in his music. He documents his predatory behavior in his music. Listen to I Admit. I don't want to.
You don't have to. Free country. But you mentioned Bill Cosby. Do you remember, like, after all the allegations against Bill Cosby came out and then people found things, there was one bit in particular where he talks about meeting a girl at a party and giving her a drug to knock her out. And at the time, it got a big laugh because, you know, it was 1969 Bill Cosby where people were going, that's Bill Cosby. He's just being funny. But then we find out later.
Yeah, that's scary. There are mothers who encouraged his interest in the hopes of a music career and money, like putting their daughters out there.
Yeah, I guess.
I guess it could happen.
Yeah, yeah.
That's disturbing.
From the Twitter of Jada Pinkett Smith, Wendy, she says, how is it that R. Kelly's music sales have spiked substantially since the release of the docuseries Surviving R. Kelly? I need some help in understanding. What am I missing? Echoing exactly what our thoughts are. You would almost think this would work against him, where if people are watching this, you go, the last thing I want to do is feed the beast. I don't want to give him any of my money. And yet, it's working the exact opposite.
Although, when something's in the news, I mean, you know, when I hear of something going on, the first thing I do is Google it to try and find out more information about it.
But whoever the villain is, or the perceived villain, isn't benefiting from that.
Yeah, you're right.
With this, if somebody's going to iTunes and going, I'll take that, and that, he's making money. Right?
It's a crazy world we live in.
Yeah,
huh?
I guess.
Terrence has called us, 312-981-7200. What's going on, Terrence?
Hey, how are you?
Confused.
My thought is because Lifetime is predominantly watched by white women, they aren't really, you know, up on what R. Kelly has been about for all these years. So you have a documentary about someone, and he's a musician. Maybe the curiosity is spiking as far as, well, I really want to hear what his music is about. Because in those documentaries, they may play like 3 or 4 songs or whatever, but R. Kelly has a huge library. So
were you a fan of his, Terrence?
I still am a fan
of his. You are.
as a musician.
But right. isn't it hard to stomach a song, even if it's your favorite song, if you know what was going on behind the scenes?
Well, as far as what he has done in his private life, you know, I'm no angel, but I'm not going out and molesting girls or, you know, having allegations like that on me either. So I just have to separate in my mind, you know, the musician from the human being, because I think R. Kelly is what you guys have kind of debated on, a very talented musician. But if all of those allegations, you know, do come to be true, I mean, yeah, I mean, I will have a different opinion about his personal life, but, you know, that is his personal life. However, I'm not going to be a hypocrite about it. I would never let him be around my teenage daughter.
Right. Right.
It's funny, though, we're all having to separate the man or woman from the the personal life from the profession. It's happening more and more that we have to do this with more and more people.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing about him is that he actually went on trial, you know, for allegations, and he was found not guilty. And it was basically on a technicality. According to that documentary and according to what was written, they delayed that trial for, I think, 7 years. And the girl that was allegedly, like, you know, the person in the videotape he went on trial for having sex with, she was 17 at the time the trial started. When the trial actually came, she was 24. And his lawyer said that they felt like, at the time, if you get a young girl on the stand, yeah, it's going to look bad for her. But as a grown woman, people pretty much be like, oh, it was consensual.
Wow. Interesting tactic.
Thank you so much for clearing some things up, Terrence. We appreciate your call.
Thank you for taking my call.
All right.
He's not still touring or anything, is he? Jasmine, do you know?
He's still touring. Yeah, but it's like overseas.
He should do a prison tour.
How would you, like, let's say your child comes to you and says, I want to go see R. Kelly. Who would go, yeah, go ahead. I'm sure everything will be fine. Just go enjoy the show. How would you allow that to happen? Even overseas? I mean, they've got the internet, they've got newspapers over there, they have to know this is going on. It's awful.
I know. We have to take a break. We're going to head on over to the stream coming up at 12 noon, and coming up, the stories that matter with Jen DeSalvo from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's all happening right here on WGN.